Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes. Noodles, the O-Dog here. It's hour number three of Overdrive. Heading into, well, I guess, the unofficial start of summer. May 2-4, Victoria Day long weekend is, Noodles, pretty much here, man.
That's summer? I guess that's summer for you?
Well, it's like a month away technically, right? But they always say in Canada that this is pretty much the unofficial kickstart to summer. It's the first big weekend up north at the cottages, different things. People are getting away. The traffic on the 400 heading north out of the city toward cottage country is usually just jammed.
Probably crazy, yeah.
Crazy, so it's, I don't know, it's just, it sucks the Leafs are out and the Raptors are done and the Jays are kind of middling along, but it's just the best time of year. Because you just know the greatest weather months are ahead. And
well, you hope.
Yeah, your fingers are crossed.
I mean, this weekend, tomorrow is supposed to be 11 and rainy, isn't it?
Yeah, good point. Kickstart to the summer is not so much.
But then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday look pretty good. Monday looks like it's 18 and sunny. So that'll be fine.
There you go. You should do the weather one night on like the CTV local news or something. There,
I wouldn't mind to stand in front of the green screen, and like that's I think what they do. And you got a
and they point
weather system building up in this area.
Yeah, and they point, and it's like they're watching themselves on the screen and where they point.
Right, like, it would be backwards, so you would have to actually be a little bit coordinated to do it.
And like the telestrator people where they circle things and
I've worked on a telestrator. I mean for hockey, like for hockey and analysis, we used to have one at the NHL Network, so you would draw things, watch this here, and I didn't like my penmanship on TV, so I tried to steer away from it a little bit.
If the penmanship is the worst aspect of your broadcasting career, you're doing okay.
Wow, well, I'm sure, but it's a work in progress, put it that way. Yeah.
Talking and drawing at the same time. Can you do two things at once? We got Game 4 of the Jets and the Golden Knights down in Vegas tonight. Haven't heard if Hayes and his buddies are going to this game or not, or was that decision made?
I think he said no.
No, okay.
Because I think it came in a little bit financially too high for a couple of the guys, and they didn't want to leave.
Deep down, he's not disappointed, though, because this is his big theory, right? That he's, why would I ever go to Vegas? That I have to be honest. I listen to you guys every single day driving home.
Yeah.
And Hayes gets so worked up about this. If I go to Vegas, I'm not going to a Golden Knights game, even if the Leafs are there. And I'm like, that's like the weirdest hill to die on.
It's on principle.
Yeah.
It's not because he does it. Like, for the longest time, he said, Vegas is going to be a joke. There's going to be no attendance there. It's not, hockey's not going to work in Vegas.
Oh, so you think it's killing him, their success, deep down?
On many levels, because he thinks Vegas is Arizona. And I would say, I argued with him right from the get-go and said, that's not the case. 40 million people a year go to Vegas. That city knows how to entertain. So the best PR people, the best people that can get like headhunters to get people in the building, that's what they're going to do. That's their job. So, you know, it may not be the fan base that, okay, I go to 41 home games a year. You know, I live in Vegas and I go there. You are going to get a lot of transient fans that are in to watch the Toronto Maple Leafs play, the Boston Bruins, whatever. The beauty about Vegas, we always say this, well, you know, the ACC that's on a Monday against Carolina, it's going to be a dead crowd. You know, you can't go in Vegas on a Monday. You have no idea who's in town, because there are a lot of times my buddies go to Vegas from Sunday to Wednesday or Thursday, because you can get great deals and packages, the flight and
the 4-day, 3-night deals or
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. I know people that leave from Toronto. I think it's a direct flight out of Buffalo or something. There's like one of these Spirit Airlines. You go there, and same thing out of Alberta. People go south into Montana, out of Great Falls, Montana, fly into Vegas for $300. It's the flight, it's the hotel, and you get a casino credit from a Sunday to a Thursday. So guess what? Your favorite team's playing there Tuesday. You go in, and you buy the tickets, and you make... Like, Vegas is for everyone. I've said this. I've been to Vegas about 100 times in my life. I've gone on many different levels, as couples and as on bachelor parties and boys' trips and business trips and all different types. Vegas is for everyone. And, you know, if you just want to go to a show, I saw Jerry Seinfeld in Vegas. I thought it was awesome. I've seen other bands in Vegas, but I've seen the Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, I saw and it's still playing, and I haven't been since 2007.
Yeah.
But I saw the one at the Mirage, the Beatles one, Love.
Oh, yeah.
Or something, and that was like 10, 11 years ago now.
They
yeah, it's
great shows. That,
fantastic.
Vegas. So I think, you know, Hayes' point, it wasn't a traditional hockey market, and he didn't feel like it was going to work. I felt that Vegas would work. Now, I didn't predict nothing about on-ice production. I thought this is a team that could win 25, 30 games this year, not make the playoffs, but not embarrass themselves. That hasn't been the case. This is a team that is legit and you know, legitimately could win the Stanley Cup.
Well, you played for the Florida Panthers, so you know this a little bit, but yeah. Like one of my first questions now, and we know where Seattle's is going to be located, but... If I'm looking at a market, and even if it's a non-traditional hockey market, the first question I'm going to ask is, where's the arena located?
Right.
T-Mobile Arena is right on the strip. In Nashville, I mean, you've been to Nashville how many times to see a Predators game? Bridgestone Arena, Noodles, you can throw down 3 or 4 beers at Bridgestone Arena. You don't even have to be upright to be able to get to Tootsie's or any of the other honky-tonks. They're like 100 or 200 feet away from the arena. In Arizona, Glendale is way the hell up on the northwest side of the general Phoenix area. The money's in Scottsdale, which is more south central, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It takes for, like, why would you ever go, especially if you're not a hockey fan? In Florida, they were throwing rats on the ice in the Cup Final down at the Miami Arena, downtown Miami.
Yeah.
Now they're in Sunrise next to a massive shopping mall.
Yep. Sawgrass, nowhere, nothing else. Like it's, and that's a 45-minute drive from, or 40 minutes, I guess, depending on traffic, from Fort Lauderdale, a little bit longer from Miami. It has to be downtown or close to it, because you can get walk-up fans. I mean, you know this as well as anybody. Take a look at Ottawa's situation. On a Tuesday night, say Ottawa plays Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at home. Are you going to all three games, and are you planning a night? You know, can I have beers on the Tuesday night because I've got to take a, if I live closer to downtown? The rink, it's a beautiful rink. You know, I'm a bit partial to the Senators because I'm around that organization a lot, and there's good people there. But you know that they had so much success in the playoffs last year. They didn't have the Winnipeg situation where there's 30,000 people outside the building.
Well, there's nowhere to be.
Right. Like, that's the thing.
They call it the Red Mile or whatever, but like, I worked up there for years, and I agree with you. I'm kind of in a weird situation
hybrid,
where I'm a Leafs guy, but I feel like I owe the city of Ottawa and the fact that I got to cover the Senators a lot for where I've gotten to in my career. So I kind of have a link to them.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really on the south side of the highway there in Ottawa other than the rink. Like, the Crazy Horse and a couple of those other spots are on the north side, so places where people might congregate aren't exactly right there. And the arena stands alone. I know houses have gone up around it and all that stuff, but
I know, but it just, to me, it's a lot easier when you are in a heavy populated area with bars. And like, Edmonton has rejuvenated the downtown area because of that rink. Now the team's got to be good and get everyone excited, but they call it the Ice District. So now you go down, there's bars. I used to own a loft right downtown there, and you could see that they were trying to turn over the clientele that lived down there. There was, you know, lots of homeless. There was lots of things that needed to be cleaned up about that city. And Edmonton's not the most aesthetically beautiful city whatsoever. But they've done a good enough job in that area creating, you know, a hockey atmosphere. You want to go to the game, there's restaurants, there's bars, the rink is beautiful. And that's where I think some of these organizations didn't, I think they bought cheap land, they put, you know, they put up nice rinks, but they're cookie cutters. Like Carolina's in the middle of nowhere, and I know O can speak to it more when he comes back, but it's just, I get it, but that's a niche market. And Vegas, to me, isn't a niche market. It's a legitimate city that has to be treated with that type of respect, because regardless if you're a gambler or a drinker or anything that goes on, that's one aspect of Vegas. There's shows, there's entertainment, and that city and that state knows how to do it. And I'm glad that Vegas was the first major, or I'm sorry, the NHL was the first major sport to go in there. Now they're going to have their hands full with the NFL going in there. You're going to lose a lot of luster off of you, but enjoy the process. And I think Hayes not going is more about his friends, but I think if he actually went to a game there, he would maybe walk back his feeling about Las Vegas and that team. If he's in there, Ray called a game. He called the Senators game there, and he said it was ridiculous. The bar atmosphere in the rink, bottle service, there's, you know, it's people are there for a show, and hockey's the show. Whereas, you know, educated, we'll call it, I mean, it's kind of sad to say, but educated hockey fans in Canada and other markets, they go there to watch the game because they understand what's going on. To me, it doesn't matter as long as you fill the building, and I think Vegas has done a good job at that.
Yeah, well, and if they keep winning, I mean, they'll keep a chunk of the interest in that city, regardless of when Chucky and the rest of the former Oakland Raiders or soon-to-be former Oakland Raiders show up. All right, you ready for this?
Yes.
Time for the Friday five-pack.
Keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beer.
Yeah, they were all out of six packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, five-pack.
Top five.
And the five-pack is brought to you by Cool Beer Brewery. Pour a crisp, cold, cool lager, and you'll understand why. They say, you are what you drink. Cool. Visit coolbeer.com. All right, so Joey Votto had a bit of a week. Now, this was one of the things, Noodles, that kind of got lost in the context of it. He had a bit of a week. He ripped his own organization earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I remember coming across this quote, not thinking much of it at the time, where he said, it's a real tough time right now to be a Cincinnati Reds fan. I totally understand why the fans are pissed off and they're not showing up. Like, the Reds suck. And then he piggybacked a day or two later with the whole comments about Canadian baseball, and he doesn't give a rat's ass, and
he was shooting from the hip.
And hey, it's like, you know, we hate it when athletes just give us the milquetoast answers. We rip on a guy when he says something, and if he believes it, he believes it, whether we like it or not. Although he did come out and apologize and did the tour the very next day. So our Friday five pack this week, five athlete foot and mouth moments or comments.
Yeah. Quotes.
Quotes.
Sound bites, anything like that. Just foot and mouth.
All right. So you want me to start this off, or do you want to rip off?
Why don't you go?
All right. I'll rip off my five here. I don't even know what this guy's name is. I don't even care what this guy's name is.
No, we don't know, but we know the comment.
But he's a bit of a Bartolo Colon in that it sounds as though he's got multiple families.
I always wish to win one of these, and I got it. So thank you very much for this, for giving me this. And I appreciate my fans also. My wife and my girlfriend. My wife. Yeah, sorry to say. I'm so sorry. My wife, Lizzie, I love you so much. Aya, I love you so much from my heart. Ne?
I hope Aya was a daughter or something, because he did throw two women's name out.
Yeah, he did. He tried to walk that one back, I remember, because he said he used to call his daughter my little girlfriend. Apparently the wife even confirmed that. But the look on his face, like there was, it was almost like he felt some guilt, like, and like, oh, what did I say? And I know lost in translation or whatever, but that looked or sounded like a man who had something going on.
Yeah.
Put it
yeah.
that way.
And it wouldn't be surprising if he did.
Yeah.
Number two for me, Kevin Pillar. It was actually about a year ago when he yelled the F word at Braves pitcher Jason Mott. Bit of a regrettable moment, but it's been documented by Ken Rosenthal and others that Pillar has made amends for that, tried to learn from it.
Yeah.
Number three, Kevin Garnett calling Charlie Villanueva, former Raptors draft pick, a cancer patient. And what Kevin was trying to say was that Charlie Villanueva was a toxic part of the locker room.
Right, like there's a saying that that person's a cancer in the room.
The problem is Charlie Villanueva has that situation where he can't grow body hair.
Right.
And of course, if you're a cancer patient, you undergo chemo and your hair falls out. So it was not one of Kevin Garnett's better moments.
And he had to straighten out, I mean, in context, but still, it doesn't look good optically.
Right, and that was a tweet by Kevin Garnett. Number four, I love this guy. I mean, there is an email strain of famous Ozzie Guillen quotes, but this one, from a location point of view, is probably not his best moment. So he had managed the White Sox for a lot of years in Chicago, 2005 World Series champions. And when the Miami Marlins changed their name from the Florida Marlins to the Miami Marlins, they moved into that new stadium before the 2012 season. They signed a bunch of free agents, and they hired Ozzie Guillen to manage the team. He'd been fired by the White Sox the previous offseason. Ozzie Guillen gets down there, and one of the first things he does is praise Fidel Castro.
I know.
The problem with that is that Marlins Park is on the site of the old Orange Bowl, which is in Little Havana in Miami, where a lot of Cuban exiles live. And Cuban exiles aren't big fans of Fidel Castro. And they're the people you're trying to entice to get to the ballpark.
Wow.
So that wasn't Ozzie Guillen's final moment or one of his better moments. And number five, he's with the Celts now. He's with the Cavs at the time. Kyrie Irving and the shape of the earth.
For me, it's not about whether the world is flat or whether the world is round. It's really about just everyone just believing what they want to believe and feeling comfortable with it. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not here to tell everyone that this is it. For me, it's just giving everyone a chance to do their own research and find their own knowledge rather than having knowledge just shoved to you. So
Kyrie believes the earth is flat.
Doesn't Shaq as well? I think there's like that. That may have been the
that flat Earth thing, dude. I have no idea. Wouldn't you get in a boat, like a cruise ship or something, and just hey, Captain, let's just keep going until we fall off the edge.
But how about just looking at images of the Earth from space?
Like, well, those are all fixed, Jamie. I mean, they never put a man on the moon.
No, I mean, but that's when you're looking at live image. Like right now, you could probably look up on Twitter, for example, Elon Musk's Twitter account.
Oh God,
and Tesla. SpaceX. Yeah, but SpaceX.
Yeah,
right. And there's a guy who sends rocket ships, and he's testing like reusable rocket ships. So he sends it out to space, brings it down, lands it. He's had some successful landings because that's how he believes he's going to be able to get a colony on Mars. So if you look at the camera work, I saw a YouTube clip on his Twitter account the other day where he had a dummy in one of those spaceships go up into the orbit and come back down. You can clearly see that the Earth is rounded. So I don't, like that one is, it's ridiculous.
What are you doing with your free time? Eh, I'm trying to create a colony on Mars.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is, but Elon Musk, I sometimes get caught down rabbit holes on YouTube and Twitter and stuff. This guy is fascinating. He believes that we could all be living in a video game that AI has created, artificial intelligence. He thinks that
he thinks we could be one day, or he thinks we are right now?
He thinks we could be being worked by somebody else in a different civilization. Like he said, this could be an advanced video game. He said that at TED Talks. It was, and it kind of floored people. But he said he believes that the way that I don't know. I'd want to
remind me
on, but
never
it's,
to go down a rabbit hole unless I'm completely and totally sober.
He fascinates
the old mind
me.
Warp.
He really does fascinate me. I think he's a brilliant guy, but man, he can be out there.
All right, you got a bunch of audio to go with yours,
yeah,
so fire up your list.
Well, we'll start number one, closer to home with the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jonathan Bernier on Nelson Mandela.
Well, obviously growing up, he's one of the most known athletes in the world, and a lot of impact in any kind of sport that he did. And even playing hockey, everyone knows him, right? From being the type of person that he was off the ice and on the ice. And it's so unfortunate that he passed away a year ago, but, he changed a lot while he was with us, and he's a tremendous guy.
Oh,
yeah.
You know the worst part of that, Noodles, is now nobody can believe anything an athlete says. Oh, yeah, you know, this and that and the other thing. Because he dragged that for 30 seconds.
Because I think he was down, talk about rabbit holes, like you're just digging yourself deeper.
I'm just hoping here, hoping I'm right.
Because Jonathan Bernier had been recently acquired and he had been playing very well, that one kind of went away pretty quick. Like, very quick. But I hadn't heard that clip in a while, and that one was... it's not good.
It's not good, eh?
Yeah. Ryan Lochte in Rio. Like, this guy... I mean, he claims that he was robbed at a gas station and held at gunpoint, and all he was a drunk idiot acting up, and they had restitution. They had guns. So he ended up backing out after that. So there's no audio of that, but everyone knows that story of Lochte at the Olympics. Number three, Cam Newton. And this one is a bad comment, and he certainly had to walk it back.
Cam, I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, that one is speaks for itself. It was a dumb comment, and in the landscape of the world, there's people that have broken through on that side. Women are equals, and especially in the sporting world. So he had to come out and apologize immediately, and he should have.
The next one is an Overdrive staple.
This is, yeah, it's an Overdrive staple. I think it's brilliant. And George W. Bush, the fool me once speech.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Yeah, he was just... You knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in trouble immediately. But that one speaks for itself. Last one, Mike Tyson. He wants to eat your children.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
That was a pretty good promo until the end.
Yeah.
And then it got...
It got weird.
Yeah.
He crossed the line.
He's been in dark places, that guy.
Yeah.
Bobby Mack will join us in studio as Overdrive rolls on. Hour number three leading into the long weekend, TSN 1050. Question is, how long can you let the music run?
Fridays, it should be a long time.
especially when you have lyrics, you can just kind of let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
The push to 7 o'clock continues. Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes, who's in Vegas. Noodles O'Dog here. It's Overdrive. TSN 1050. TSN Hockey Insider Bobby McKenzie in studio with us. Brought to you by Finance It.
Scotty, you've been a sports host for a long. Can't you play music? Play a whole song that you like?
I don't think they're allowed to.
Well, I'm just thinking, if you go over the history of this station, This was a music station way back. This was legendary.
This was the music station in the 60s growing up. 1050 Chum.
Jungle J. Nelson
was a big deal. And
Jungle J. Nelson?
Yeah.
See, that's what we need.
He lived a life, though.
And then so, I think it was Roger Ashby. And then, I mean, even then you had Roger, Rick, and Marilyn on Chum FM. Chum FM. So, yeah. The whole Chum thing in 1050 has been a stalwart in this neighborhood.
We have nicknames, but like Jungle Jim.
Jungle J.
Jungle J, like that is a radio name.
That is a 60s radio name. Didn't he used to introduce the Beatles at the Gardens and stuff? Like he was a huge deal.
Oh yeah, huge. He was like an icon back in the 60s. Well,
what were the WKRP names? The
Venus Flytrap. And Johnny Fever. Johnny Fever.
Yeah.
And Venus Flytrap and Les Nessman, what was he? I think he was just
Les Nessman.
Yeah, he was the news guy.
But that's kind of what I think we need to bring that back. Like O-Dog, Hayes, and Noodles, like that's all right, but like
it's still pretty good. You guys got nicknames in there, so.
Still.
Now that Dwayne's, he can go with Hazy B.
Yeah, we got to figure that one out. We'll find while he's in Vegas, so I don't know. We were talking earlier, like must win for Winnipeg, but like, do you feel like this is a team that then can come back? I know it's only 2-1, but Vegas just seems destined. Like maybe.
But Winnipeg's a real good team, and we saw against Nashville that their ability to rebound after losses and do the every other game thing, and that's what they obviously need here. But I think I think they're capable of coming back tonight and having a real good game. But the flip side is that this Vegas team kind of defies the odds, don't they?
I mean, we were talking in October. Well, this isn't going to last. I had on my show yesterday Ed Graney on of the Vegas Journal Review, Bob, and he said, "My wife and I booked a trip to Alaska with our two kids for the start of June." Because he's the beat reporter covering the team for the paper, and he's like, "I didn't think I was going to be working at the end of May and into early June." He's getting set to throw his wife and two kids on a bird up to Alaska.
Yeah. I don't even know where to go with the latest angle on the story. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they're two wins away, but I mean, Winnipeg wins tonight, best of three. Winnipeg's going back home. They're a good team, so we'll see. It's a little early yet to anoint Vegas, but to your point, Noodles, I mean, all season long, it's just been like, you just think, they got something going there.
How surprised are all you guys at just how good Fleury has been pretty much all season when healthy? Like this,
because
he was in a battle in Pittsburgh, right?
He was, but he was playing really well most of the time. But, there was no margin in Pittsburgh if you had a bad game in the playoffs. I mean, they had the other guy. So last year, I mean, was it game six against Washington when the switch got made? I think it was. I think he got pulled early in game six, Fleury did, against Washington. And Murray came in, played well the rest of the way. And they started Murray in seven, and he went the distance after that. So there was no margin, and there's obviously margin now. But he's someone was telling me the stats, I think, before the series began. If you took his last 38 playoff games, .930 save percentage, bunch of shutouts, obviously two cups in there. Not that he was the goalie of record when they won the cup at that precise moment, but still it was a huge factor in them winning both of those cups. And then if you take the 38 playoff games in the years before that, which was a lot of years, then the numbers are like below .900 save percentage. He was often cited as the guy people pointed their finger and said, goaltending is a weak spot. They're wasting Crosby and Malkin. This is a huge problem. And those are well behind him. And so he's been on a playoff roll for now 40-plus games in the National Hockey League.
I wonder if it's anything that teams are going to look at going forward. I think he dressed for 50 to 55 games. And look how good and dialed in and energetic he is right now. I wonder if teams are going to say, never mind this 60-65-70 stuff for our starter. Maybe it's a 50-55 situation if we can get the proper goaltending, our backup goaltending, and then our guy will be dynamite in the playoffs.
You make a great point, because I think there are teams that are trying to figure out the optimal number for a starter. And you do need, especially in the world with analytics and the back-to-back situations. And I know there were some teams that played up to 19 back-to-backs this year. So you're going to have to rely on your backup. Braden Holtby played 50, just over 50 games.
So. And their strategy was to give him a rest to start the playoffs.
Well, technically, you're right, because Grubauer was the guy down the stretch. Yeah. And they started him the first game. And that's when... I think there is going to be more of a tandem, but you're right. He is fresh. He missed a couple months. Fleury does have a history of concussions too. That's one thing that is scary for him, because we've seen him miss extended lengths of time now. Well,
you worry every time he takes a puck to the head.
Exactly.
Because he's had issues with concussions, and he's been bumped in the net before and had them. But he's also, you know, he's also running the concussion problems, taking a hard shot off the melon.
Yeah.
And so you always worry about that. But there's, I mean, you can't put him in bubble wrap, and it is what it is. And the funny thing is that even the Vegas story, I mean, the story in the early part of the season was Fleury was hurt, Malcolm Subban was hurt.
Yeah. Oscar Dansk.
Everybody was hurt. You know, that's when Lagesse came in, and a bunch of guys, they were 4 or 5 deep into their goaltending, and they just kept on motoring along like it was nothing. That's the crazy part about their season.
But to spin it back to your conversation, Noodles, about the optimal number of games for a goalie, do the Leafs need to dial Freddie back? And then if the answer to that question is yes, is Curtis McIlhenny, I mean, he's the backup next year on merit. He had a terrific year. But is Curtis McIlhenny the guy that you would be comfortable, if you're a Leafs fan, or more importantly, Leafs coach, Leafs management, starting 25 or so games?
Well, I think you could give him a little bit of a longer leash, given on his body of work since he's joined the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, Garrett Sparks is on a one-way contract next year as well.
Does he need waivers to go down?
I think he would need that. So they're, you know, and Sparks won goalie of the year in the AHL. I'm in the minority, but I'm not convinced that Garrett Sparks is an everyday NHL goaltender. Just in what I've seen of his skill set in that, I hope I'm wrong, because, you know, there's no reason to believe that he shouldn't get a look. And I haven't watched him with the Marlies, but the AHL is a different animal than the NHL. There are guys that, if you go back and look at the top goaltender award at the AHL level, there's a couple standouts that have had good NHL careers, and there are guys who were really good at the minor league level who couldn't be consistent NHL goaltenders. So that one's still a work in progress. But I think if you're looking to take some minutes off of Anderson, you better be a good enough team that whoever's in there is going to play well too, and shield them. That comes back to, you know, not being 28th in shots against in the National Hockey League. If you're a good defensive team, it doesn't matter who you plug in for the most part. That goaltender should have some success because you shield them a little bit. But that hasn't been the case with the Leafs in the last couple of years. They're a team that gives up, in my opinion, way too many quality chances, and you rely on your goaltender too much.
Well, and it comes down to, what do you believe Freddie Anderson was feeling toward the end of the year? Because you could sit there and say, well, that bad third period in Game 7, or the couple weak goals that he gave up in Game 3, even though they won that game, or
right,
the fact they got shelled in the first two games in Boston. There were obviously warts on that playoff series, but then he was also, as you were saying earlier, Noodles, the first star of games 5 and 6. So they're deep into that series at that point, and he's considered the best player in those two games.
Yeah.
So is he tired? Is he not tired? Like, it's just kind of hard to know.
I think it's situational too, because you have, if your best player, if you're Carey Price and he's healthy, like, you want to, you run him out there as much as possible, and your best players, you know, have to be on the ice. I think so. It's the difference between Yara Halak and Carey Price. You know, one guy can play 50, one guy can play 65.
When do you think chatter starts picking up, Bobby? Is it just wait till the hockey stops, or
it started? I mean, there's only 4 teams playing within a week. There's only going to be 2 teams playing, so by the time we start the Stanley Cup Final, there's a whole bunch of teams that are starting to get busy.
Well, here's an example, and going back to my old favorite team, apparently they're open for business, and anybody but Aho. What exactly does that mean?
Well, see, it's a little bit of hyperbole, and I talked about this on my podcast this week. When they say open for business, they are. When you say anybody but Aho, they'll listen on anybody. But I mean, realistically, Teuvo Teräväinen isn't going anywhere. There's a couple of others.
Elias Lindholm.
What about the young guys on the back end?
Well, see, this is where it gets interesting, because they'll listen to any of their blue liners. They will. They'll listen on Falk. They'll listen on Hanifin. They'll listen on Pesci, Slavin, all those guys. But Pesci and Slavin are on longer-term deals, probably more favorable for the club to keep them. But one of Falk or Hanifin could definitely be traded. I think Skinner is likely to be traded, although I put an asterisk beside it simply because he's got a full no-move clause. So if he wants to play out the string in Carolina, he could do that. He's got 1 year left at $5.725 million. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season. I don't think he's long-term for Carolina. And the LA Kings, amongst others, are inquiring on him. And he's had three productive years after some years where they were pretty lean, in large part because he was concussed a number of times.
Yeah.
But he's had, I think he had high 20s in goals this year. He had 37 last year, had mid-20s the year before that. So, pretty consistent 20 to 30-plus goal scorer. Those are hard to come by. He might be perceived to be a one-dimensional player, but if you're going to have one dimension, that's a pretty good dimension to have, being able to score goals. So I think they're trying to move him. And then we'll see where they go for that.
Washington, Tampa Bay, Bob. And we've been through this over the course of the program today, just saying, beat Pittsburgh and Sidney Crosby was a demon exorcised. And now you go up 2-0, you come back home, you feel really good about where you're at. And I mean, even if you get the split at home, you've got three shots to win the series. But they cough the home ice advantage right back up. Even though I think it's pretty inarguable, they were the better team.
Over four games, they've been by far the better team.
Absolutely. So they have to like where they're at.
Yeah.
But then again, at the same time,
well, if they weren't the Washington Capitals, we might not be so worried about it. Yes. I don't think they are. I could be wrong. And listen, the worry can be legit, because in a seven-game series, as much as the team that plays the best usually wins over those seven games, usually wins. A hot goaltender and having Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov taking turns pile-driving pucks from the shooter spot on the power play, you can win a series doing that and not be good 5-on-5 and get outplayed horribly. And at the end, you could be left looking, if you're the Washington Capitals, going, man, Vasilevsky, Stamkos, and Kucherov on the power play beat us. But I'd still take my chances of preferring to go with what Washington's done. The thing I would worry about, not if you're Washington, they got no control over that, but Tampa is clearly can play better than they've played these first four games. So do they snap out of it and do more than have a good goalie and a couple of cannons on the power play? Do they get their game back that they had against Boston, which was dominant in every way? Or is what you see what you get, and they're going to be hard-pressed over the next three games to try and steal wins the way they have the last two?
Yeah, I mean, Brayden Holtby's been pretty good since taking over in the playoffs. But if you think about it, there are questions in Winnipeg about Hellebuyck. There are questions about Vasilevsky. He's been great in the latter two games of this series so far. The
questions
first two games, not so much.
Every goalie in the playoffs, because it's so hard to sustain. Pekka Rinne questions. Now people are asking a few questions on Hellebuyck. People were asking questions on Holtby. At times. People were asking questions on Matt Murray in Pittsburgh during their series. And I'm talking about, Vegas, there haven't been many questions asked of Fleury, I don't think, at all. But Vasilevsky's had his moments in even in these playoffs where people are like, he needs to be better than that. So it's like virtually every team goes through it.
All right, Bobby, we'll let you go. And thanks. You're not dressed for TV tonight. Are you rolling out? Car keys in hand.
Going out for a little bite to eat before the game starts. A quick one.
We'll be there.
See if you guys need any food brought back. We'll check with you from the establishment.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bob McKenzie from Skip the Dishes. Not bad. Well, TSN Hockey Insider Bob McKenzie brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. Final tee up of Game 4 tonight, the Jays and A's. We'll get to the Proline Best Bets. Overdrive, TSN 1050. Drive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Now, I try to win you some money with my best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on the Pirates as the home plus over the Padres because the Padres suck. I'm on the Blue Jays at home over Oakland because they're not going to lose two in a row to the A's, and I'm on the Jets to even things up in Vegas. Put down $20. This ticket will pay you $128 even. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And you can get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. Proline, get way into the game.
What do you think that loser's doing in Vegas?
I
remember,
I
know how nerdy he is when we travel? He's like... What time are we leaving? He'll send that one out.
And is then, he a scheduler?
What he's time are we leaving? Guy? The answer is 3 o'clock, 2:59. I'm down in the lobby.
Yeah, he's
he's such a loser to travel with.
He's an efficient guy, but like I like to be efficient, but I just
It's 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I don't need your text. I'm in the lobby every time. Yeah. I'm in the lobby.
I know he gets it worked out. I think he's into the sauce.
Like, well, what time is it? It's 3:52 there right now, yeah. Right? So he's landed.
They're probably well on their way.
His buddy, they'll guaranteed there'll be one that's like beyond oiled and obnoxious already.
That could be Hayes. He's not used to that routine, man.
Well,
you got
true.
A bunch of beers by the pool.
Oof. Yeah.
You're dunzo. It's dinner time in dunzo.
Yeah.
Maybe I like into the casino. Night. You might even not even think of going to the hockey game at this point.
I like the late night. You know, I don't mind a 5 or 6 a.m. in Vegas. Go all night.
It's not hard to do either because you walk into one of those casinos and the oxygen blasts you in the face.
No idea what time it is. No idea.
Yeah. No windows, no clocks, nothing.
I love it.
Well, Scotty, I told you at the beginning of the show, everyone needs a side piece, and me and Noodles are very fortunate to have you as our radio side piece.
And Bruce Arthur will be with me on Monday, so you enjoy the long weekend.
Yeah.
4 o'clock Monday?
We'll chat then.